Officials from Afghanistan, Pakistan, China, and the U.S. are scheduled to meet again early next month to continue work toward a lasting peace for Afghanistan. Senior officials from those countries met on Monday and issued a statement calling on the Taliban to resume talks with the Afghan government as part of that process. The U.S.-led war in Afghanistan is now in its 15th year, and there are still nearly 13,000 NATO troops in Afghanistan, representing 42 countries. But this recent conflict is really just a blip on the timeline of foreign involvement in Afghanistan. The country has been the scene of military campaigns dating back centuries, featuring Alexander the Great, Mongols, Muslim Arabs, the British, the Soviet Union, and now NATO. We want to focus some attention on the history of foreign involvement in Afghanistan now with Dawood Azami. He's editor of the BBC Pashto Service, and he's with us from London. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Well, and take us back to the beginning. What are the origins of Afghanistan?
Well, the name Afghanistan is relatively new. The country was named Afghanistan in 1747. But Afghans are very proud of their old history and long history. They usually say that we have a history of more than 5,000 years. And archaeologists have found evidence of ancient cultures and civilizations in what is now Afghanistan. So it's an old country. The languages, especially Pashto, which is spoken in Afghanistan and some parts of Pakistan, is one of the ancient languages. Some people call it the sister language of Sanskrit. But it is a living language. Sanskrit is a dead language now. So it's not commonly used, but Pashto is still spoken by more than 50 million people. So it's an ancient country, ancient culture, but the main significance of Afghanistan is in its geographical location.
It's located right next to Pakistan, right next to Iran.
Historically, Afghanistan connected three major regions in that part of the world. It connects South Asia, West Asia, and Central Asia. So that's why historians have called Afghanistan as a land bridge. Some people have called it the door to India, meaning South Asia. And the famous British historian Toynbee has called Afghanistan the roundabout of ancient history. So it was a roundabout in a way. Whenever an invader or migrants wanted to move and go from one part of the world to another, so they had to go through Afghanistan.
Is that why the British invaded in 1838?
Yes, that was the main reason, its geographical location. But in the 18th and 19th century, there was a competition for influence in Central Asia between the Russian Empire and the British Empire. The British Empire came to India and captured India relatively easily. But when they wanted to expand their influence and territorial control towards Afghanistan, the Afghans resisted. That's why there were three wars between Afghanistan and the British Empire, 1838, 1878, and 1919. And the Afghans are proud in their victories in all of these wars. So they still mention these wars. The Independence Day of Afghanistan is the one in which the British were defeated in 1919 and Afghanistan became a fully independent country. So they take pride in their recent history and ancient history. They also mention the defeat of Alexander the Great in around 330 BC. They also mention Genghis Khan, who invaded Afghanistan and whose armies were crushed in Afghanistan. They also take pride in defeating the Soviet Union. In fact, this was the first defeat of the communist Soviet Union in Afghanistan in the 1980s. And this was the last defeat because the Soviet Union collapsed after the defeat in Afghanistan.
Well, take us to that point, because that is where we really get into the modern history of Afghanistan. Why was the Soviet Union so interested in Afghanistan?
Well, in a way, this was the continuity of the great game which was going on between the Russian Empire and the British Empire. But in the Cold War, there was a rivalry between the communist bloc and the U.S.-led Western capitalist bloc. And now the U.S. was the main player, on the other hand, and replaced the British Empire of the past. So again, one of the main theaters of rivalry between Soviet Union and the U.S. Or NATO was Afghanistan. So Soviet Union wanted to expand its influence and expand communism towards South Asia, and Afghanistan was again in the way. And that's why the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, to protect a small communist party which staged a coup in 1978 and captured the government. And the Afghans started resistance. They fought against the communist regime, but the Soviet Union felt that it will collapse if they didn't intervene. So they sent tens of thousands of forces to Afghanistan, and the rest of the world, led by the U.S., supported the Afghan Mujahideen, the freedom fighters. And then eventually, a lot of Arab militants from Middle Eastern countries were also encouraged by their own countries and Western countries to go to Afghanistan and support the Afghan resistance and fight against the Soviet Union. So that's why Osama bin Laden went there, and tens of thousands of other Middle Eastern militants went to Afghanistan to get training and fight against communism.
But how did the Mujahideen and Osama bin Laden go from attacking the Soviets who were there in Afghanistan and turn their attention to the United States and the West and launching attacks against the West?
So when the Soviet Union was defeated in Afghanistan and its forces left the country, Afghanistan was abandoned by the U.S. and the rest of the world. They were not interested in Afghanistan anymore because the main enemy was defeated, Soviet Union collapsed, and their objective was achieved. But as a result of this war, Afghanistan was destroyed. The whole infrastructure was destroyed. The social and physical and cultural infrastructure was destroyed. And these militants who had gone to Afghanistan from Middle Eastern countries were also not welcomed back in their own countries. So they stayed in Afghanistan, and then predatory neighbors in the region started interference in Afghanistan because they found Afghanistan a weaker state, and regional countries wanted to get more influence in Afghanistan. And that's how Afghanistan became a battlefield of proxy wars for the neighboring and regional countries. And these militants stayed, joined different factions and groups who are supported by different countries in the region. And out of this chaos, the Taliban emerged. They wanted to expel these factional leaders and warlords and corrupt officials who are intimidating people. So their slogan was welcomed by the ordinary Afghans, and that's why they got a lot of support from ordinary Afghans. But later on, when Al-Qaeda established its bases under the leadership of Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, they started influencing the Taliban ideology. And the Taliban, when we talked to them, had been telling us that they had hosted Al-Qaeda or these Arab militants because they had been fighting the Soviet Union for many years, and they had supported the Afghan Mujahideen or the Afghan resistance fighters for many years. So they were, in a way, the guest of Afghanistan. And in the Afghan culture, you don't insult a guest, you don't expel the guest. Hmm. So that's why their argument was that these are our guests, but we are not allowing them to use the territory of Afghanistan against another country. But when 9/11 happened, we asked the Taliban, we interviewed them. They told us, many of the Taliban leaders still say that Al-Qaeda was either not involved in the 9/11 attack, or even if they were involved, they broke that promise that they have given to the Taliban leadership that they wouldn't be using Afghanistan against another country.
So now here we are, 15 years into the U.S. war in Afghanistan. Is this country ever going to be a country again, a true country again, that is led by a central government in Kabul?
It is possible for Afghanistan to achieve peace and stability again, but it depends on a number of things. One is that the interference of regional countries should stop. And secondly, it also need the support of the U.S. because the United States is one of the main players now in Afghanistan and in that region. It still has thousands of troops based in Afghanistan. So the United States also need to be fully behind the peace efforts. But until now, there hasn't been any proper peace process. So the only solution seems to be a peace process, which will end in a political settlement, because the past 15 years showed that military solution is not possible in Afghanistan. There seems to be a stalemate between the Taliban and the Afghan government and NATO forces. So the only solution seems to be a political settlement.
That's Dawood Azami, the editor of the BBC's Pashto service, speaking with us from London about the fascinating history of Afghanistan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was nice talking to you.